Welcome to the messages. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and welcome again to another great production. And today on the show, I am thrilled to introduce to you a gentleman I've just met recently. We have a nice conversation, Jonathan Kasoy. Vasula Rudin is on travels right now with True Life and God. And so I am thrilled and have the opportunity to invite Jonathan to the production today. Actually from, again, the other side of the world. He's in Greece and I'm in the United States. How are you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing great, Malcolm. Great to be here as the co-host.
Thank you. It's a privilege to have you, brother. And so let me just tell folks real briefly that it's kind of cool because you're a little different than last time we had Father Joseph Yannuzzi on, and I so enjoyed him. You know, he was, you listened to that show, didn't you?
Of course. It was fantastic.
Oh, man, I love that man, I'll tell you. Really, really love that man. He's just incredible talk here. But yourself now, I'm so looking forward to today. And I want to start here, Jonathan. Within the messages, and I believe that you'll tell me that, you know, you found the messages later on in life. And, you know, they've really opened up your eyes in many, many ways. We'll talk more about that ahead. But I want to start first with this incredible body of work. And you said something to me in some notes you sent, which really got my attention because it spoke to me. And you called it the noble work of times. And you then prefaced the fact that noble is used many times within the messages, that it's an expression Jesus uses to describe true life in God. And I really find that fascinating right now, especially at this moment of time in our life on earth here, and that this is a noble work of our times. Now, keep in mind, Jonathan, not everybody has read all the messages. Many people listening to you and I right now may have not heard. There may be new listeners that haven't read the messages or followed them. There may be others who understand them and have read them. So knowing all of that, talk to me on this this as a body of work, why you believe that is also very intriguing to you as a noble work of our times.
Well, you know, Vasula actually used the expression in one of her talks. She said that she called True Life and God the most noble work of our times. And Jesus refers to it as his noble ode many times in the messages. And you know, we all have a sense for this feeling of what nobility is. It has something to do with maybe royalty. And I had to look it up in the dictionary because I wasn't exactly sure what it meant. And it really, one of the definitions for it is that it's showing fine personal qualities, high moral principles and ideals. And I think that in our world today, in our society, in our culture, that we have a body of work that's one of the most or the most noble of the times, that this should immediately be of interest to almost anybody. If you're aspiring to something that's noble, high idealed, with high moral principles. And I actually have here a couple of references that are in the messages. One of them is Jesus says, "This noble ode that so many do not acknowledge now its value, but leaves them adamant, will one day will fill the cosmos." And this particular reference that he's making here really blew my mind, because and I had to look up the word cosmos. Does cosmos mean solar system? Cosmos means the entire universe.
Jonathan, say that message one more time, please, for us.
This noble ode that so many do not acknowledge now its value, but leaves them adamant, will fill the cosmos one day. So, you know, we have that mysterious kind of enigmatic saying in the Gospel of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word," and that everything was created through the Word, that Jesus refers to himself as the Word, the Logos. And here we have this body of work in our days, which is, I really see it as a miracle that we have this body of work. That's, in fact, it's one of the biggest miracles of our days, is that we have these messages.
Right.
And he's saying in that message, on the one hand, he's saying that people are adamant. In other words, when they come across it, this noble ode, they refuse to change their mind about it. They resist it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They resist it. But then he goes on to say that this ode, this noble work of True Life in God, will fill the entire cosmos, the entire universe.
Wow.
So we have in our hands a physical book that in some spiritual, mystical way, one day will stream throughout the entire universe. It's just inconceivable. You know, again, it's mystical language. Right. But it's really impressive.
Well, you know, you think, Jonathan, about, again, and it is not lost on Malcolm, when you think of our planet and you think of Earth in all of this glory and all of this massive universe and the cosmos as you describe it, and you think of it in those terms, I mean, it's miraculous. It's all God's work. And how can anybody deny that this is even possible, that you and I are talking today from different areas of halfway around this little blue marble that's kind of floating in the space, huh? Think about it, you know?
Right.
And we're having this production, we're talking in an intelligent way, and you think about all of these things. They're not coincidences, and they're not a freak of nature, and it's not like, well, we just have, I mean, there's a purpose to all of this, and there's a purpose to our Earth, and the beauty, and all the possibilities of how we can be alive and communicate, and it all is God's work, you know?
In another place, he refers to it, he says, yes, these noble odes will be sung to this generation and to others that follow it. So in other words, he's saying that he's identifying that this ode, this work, that his love hymn, he also calls it, the messages of True Life in God. He's saying that not only is it sung to us now, but that it will be sung for the generations that follow us. So it has historicity. It has longevity to it. It has a historical mission.
Right, sure, absolutely, you know, no, without a doubt. So these are all descriptive points that really play into why this body of work is so incredible. You know, I got to tell you, if I can find it here, Father Gavin Ashington, who just an incredible man, you know who I'm speaking of, right?
Of course.
And maybe many of our listeners know as well. And if you don't know, I did a television interview with Father Gavin Ashington from Rome, and that is on MalcolmOutloud.tv, in fact. I really enjoy him so much and his message. Incredible man. And he had a description so perfect. And I got to put my arms on it now, my hands and eyes on it somewhere to deliver it here. But in how he described the messages in such a prophetic way, when I find that, I'll bring it back to you here as we look. But so staying on this moment of being noble, talk to our audience a moment, our listeners today, please, and describe to folks, just from your vantage point, Jonathan, please, of what the messages have done for you.
Oh, that's a big one. You know, recently I came back from a retreat in Loutraki, and we spent 5 or 6 days there, and it was fantastic. This is a place in Greece. And this was a True Life in God retreat. And they asked me to make a little bit of a witness of my conversion or how I found the messages. And an image came to my mind of myself, the time that I found the messages, of being sort of symbolically floating in water up to my neck, and there was nobody and nothing around. In other words, I was completely isolated. But I was searching. And when I came across the messages for the first time, it was in Enkerim. And this was at a monastery in the Holy Land in Israel, where it's reputed that John the Baptist went to live after his mother and father passed away. And they built a monastery there. And it was in that monastery that I first found the messages of True Life in God. And at that time in my life, I was completely lost, very, very isolated.
Jonathan, what year was this, brother?
This was in 1997.
Okay.
And very, very isolated and spiritually isolated. In other words, I wasn't finding anybody that I could really relate to that was on the same page as me. And it's a whole story in itself how I found the messages and or they found me. And I see it as a grace, really, that it's all a grace from God that me and the messages rendezvoused.
And Jonathan, and that's almost 20 years ago.
Is it that long already?
Yes, that's almost 20 years ago, brother. I mean, I mean, you know, I'm not saying you're getting older or anything, but I am saying that's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, tell me about
it. Hey, by the way, while you were talking and I was listening to you, I also found what Father Gavin Ashington said. Can I say this to you here a moment?
Yes, please.
I think you'll enjoy this. So when we did this television interview, and again, for those who don't know, by the way, I got to tell you first here, Father Gavin Ashington, he is also, very interestingly, a point of reference here. He's chaplain to the Queen of the Church of England.
Wow.
Yeah. So he is an amazing man, and the work he's done out there is incredible. But listen to what he said. I want everybody to hear this now, because this is big. So we were talking about the messages in a very interesting context, and I've not heard this before, his description. And this is Father Gavin Ashington. This is what he said, and I quote, "I hold the messages with the Bible. They don't replace the Bible. What I look about the messages, what I love about these messages, is when I read the Bible, I start talking to God and praying. In the messages, God starts talking back to me."
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's
really fantastic.
Isn't that wild?
So in this period of my life where I was very isolated, the messages came in, and from that, it's sort of like a giant cruise liner. Remember, I'm floating in the water up to my neck, and there's not a wave, there's not any land in sight, there's no people in sight, there's nothing. It's like this giant white luxury liner came by, scooped me up, and basically has given me more blessings in my life that I could ever imagine, and done it in such a way that I feel pretty much I'll always be indebted to what came to me through True Life and God and the messages, which is conversion, baptism, the sacrament of the church, intimacy with God, a spiritual path, friendships, even my job, my wife, everything, sort of pretty much everything has come as blessings through encountering these messages.
So you brother, you are indebted here. I mean, without all of that, you're pretty pretty left naked there.
Big time. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, come on, that's everything, you know?
Exactly. So I had never before the messages, I'd really I didn't have any of the sacraments of the church. I didn't know what confession was. I'd never been to confession. I had never taken the Eucharist. In fact, when I was thinking about it, in a way, what happens when you encounter God, whoever you are, and this is what it was like for me. It's like God has this giant mansion, much bigger than, say, Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago. It's really big. A huge mansion, and it's packed with everything you're interested in, everything you love. I mean, it's everything you could imagine. Lamborghinis, whatever it is that you want is in that mansion, and it's huge. And you're like a child, and God says to you, "Come and play in my mansion." And that is a metaphor of what happens spiritually. What can happen when you begin to read these messages and you begin to put them into practice and you begin to develop the inner life, the spiritual life, that instead of the Lamborghini and the mansion and all the gourmet food or whatever was physically symbolic of what I'm talking about, you begin to get spiritual gifts and your soul starts to become adorned. And maybe just in the beginning, in small ways, like myself, just in small ways. In other words, what do I mean by that? I'll give you something specific. That you have hope, that you have peace in your soul, that you have that you've received knowledge, that you have fortitude more than you had before. You know, that these are really priceless inner gifts. They're not that external thing that we're referring to symbolically, they're inner gifts of the soul, and they're just priceless. They're beyond price.
Well, it's like you're being fulfilled. Like, for instance, right at this moment, as you folks out there are listening to Jonathan speak about all of this in such a way, think about this fulfillment in your life. This is the way I see it, Jonathan. And right now at this moment, take a deep breath, and breathe in and breathe out, and let all of those adjectives, all the things you described, Jonathan, come into you and fulfill your soul and your heart and your mind. And that really is the power of all of this. Every time I do the show, The Messages, I get so much out of it. It is like you just said, it's just such a natural high, you know, which is incredible. You just get all of this strength within all of this. In fact, Jonathan, you described in some words that you sent to me, and this is cool, and I want you to think out there about it. If you've read The Messages and you understand God's word, okay, And you know, do me a favor, send us emails or write in the description at the post at America Out Loud. Write in there some of the descriptions that you've gotten from The Messages for us, or email us to talk@americaoutloud.com, our email address, what The Messages have done for you. But let me describe to you what, Jonathan, what you said you get from this. Listen to these adjectives here. From The Messages and from his faith, he gets strength, courage, hope, love, meaning, direction, consolation, and so many other things. But think about those gifts. Those are gifts, right, Jonathan?
Oh, it's all from God. It's you know, these are gifts from above.
Yeah, so you get all of that in you. And I just, you know, I want to do so much good in the world. I want to do so much good while we're here, Jonathan. You know, that's why I love doing these shows, you know. I want to reach people. I want people to get all of this. I want them to understand. But I just think it just lifts humanity up in such a glorious way, you know.
Exactly. And the even the capacity to do good, you know, comes from God.
That's it.
And there's nothing that feels better that he allows you. It's kind of like he allows you to participate in his goodness. It's not that it's coming from you. He's giving you the grace to allow you to participate in what comes from him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it feels great. It just feels great doing good.
So that's it. That's it, man. So tell us what The Messages do for you. Put it in the comments at the bottom there on the post at America Out Loud, or email us. And I would love to know. I really, really want to know, friends, what they do for you. Jonathan, I want to change cycles just a moment here. A lot of people may not be able to relate to what I want to talk to next. Some may be able to, but I think people will find it very interesting. And we'll you know, keep it brief, but I want to talk about this fact that you were baptized at the age of 42 years old. I mean, that's not a baby. I mean, you're 42 years old, and it was actually on the island of Rhodes in Greece, right? At the Greek Orthodox Church, yes?
That's correct.
And yep. So how did it feel to be baptized at the age of 42?
It felt great. I can tell you that. It really felt great.
So you're never too old, and everybody should consider, if they haven't been baptized, you need to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The in the I don't know if you know this, Malcolm, but in the Orthodox Church, before they baptize you, they give you an exorcism. Did you know that?
I didn't specifically know that, no. I mean, I know you have to typically go through things in the church to be baptized,
right.
But I didn't know that specifically.
So in the actual process of the baptism, right, there's an exorcism that takes place right there, right before the baptism.
Well, that's kind of cool, actually.
So when you go into that water and you're baptized, you've been all cleaned out, you know, and then, you know, after the baptism, like every kid, you know, goes and jumps in the mud puddle, you know, afterwards, then we have confession. But you're exorcised before the baptism. And I had some interesting experiences that happened to me there.
Yeah, tell us the most interesting one.
During the baptism, I had a distinct awareness. In the Orthodox Church, they have the iconostasis, and behind that, the priest prepares the Eucharist. And I had a distinct awareness that there was like a portal opened into the spiritual world, into heaven, and that there was all kinds of spiritual beings, and that there was a flurry of activity that was going on behind the iconostasis. You know, we've all heard the story of Jacob's ladder that's in the Bible, where the angels are ascending and descending, and it's just like there's a Jacob's ladder behind that iconostasis. And I also had the experience when I received the Eucharist for the first time after I was baptized. I had the sensation that I was being led up a staircase.
Right.
And the next day I went back to the church and it's flat. There's no staircase there. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I read that in one of your stories. And I mean, that has got to be something else. When you went back the next day, you was really expecting to see a stairway, was you not?
Exactly.
And it was not there. And so you immediately knew that this was a real, a transcendent experience, huh, you'd been through.
Yeah, it was real. It was the real deal. And it was a big grace. You know, the whole thing was a big grace because it took place actually at the first True Life in God ecumenical pilgrimage in 97. That was the first pilgrimage. So that there were all these people there. There were 100 people that witnessed it.
So you were there at that first one for the baptismal.
Exactly.
Wow, what a blessing that is. That's incredible.
Huge blessing.
One of the stories I got to share with folks that I seen in your notes, which it's just kind of it's, you know, you said here it was hard for a grown man to get into that little baptismal basically designed for babies, but I did it. You said it.
Exactly.
It was a very powerful experience, and I just came away with like a different image. I could see you, Jonathan 42, you know, and being baptized in this, and what a moment that is, huh? That's,
you know, the circle was recently completed because I was invited to be a godfather for the first time this past weekend.
Wow.
And in an Orthodox church, and I saw my godson, the little infant who's only 8 months old, and they put him in the water, and when he got in there, he kind of splashed his legs around a little bit, and he was able to sit down in the bottom of it. But it was the same size baptismal urn or whatever, or fountain that I had gone into, you know.
Yeah. Did you take photographs with you baptismal, in that little baptismal? Did you take photographs of that, or?
Yeah, we have photos of that of my godson getting baptized.
No,
yes.
Of you when you were you.
Oh yeah, there's many, many, many photos of that, of course.
Yeah. I'd like to see one of you in that.
No problem.
Yeah, I'd love to see one there. So
be happy to send it to you.
It's just kind of neat to experience that. Now, I was baptized when I was a baby, so I don't remember the experience vividly, you know, in my mind, right?
Right, exactly.
As most don't. So, but I think that's something special you have to take away with you now from this experience, the fact that you do remember because you were of age, you know?
Absolutely. Now, the other thing, you know, many of the saints, or one of the saints in particular, she mentions about, but all the saints, many saints talk about it, that in your conversion, in that initial experience, that you get these little gifts. And one of the saints referred to it as little chocolates. I heard one of the priests mention this in a talk in Loutraki, Greece, just last month. Little chocolates. And I got a nice little chocolate the next day after my baptism. Do you want me to tell you about that?
Yeah. Boy, that sounds really something. Yeah.
The day after the baptism, we left by boat and we took a ride to Patmos in a hydrofoil. And there was a group of us sitting down in the bottom of the boat. And we were just talking, we were having coffees and enjoying the ride. And one of the people that was doing the videotaping during the talk of the previous days of Vesula, I was talking to him. I was very interested at that time about video cameras and sound quality. And he said, look, I can play back for you what I did yesterday of Vesula's talk. Have a look. And he handed me his video camera. And he handed me the headset so that I could hear it. And he set the tape to the beginning of Vesula's talk. And I'm watching the talk. And there's an icon about a foot and a half high of Jesus on the table next to where Vesula was standing. And I'm watching this tape. and the icon, the mouth on the lips of the icon of Jesus begin moving in perfect sync with Vesula's lips. Now I'm watching this, and I'm watching this, and I'm watching it, and I exclaimed out loud, I can't believe it, there's a miracle on this tape. Now, I have to tell you that I had never really seen anything like that before, supernatural like that. I'd heard of stories of different things with icons, and so I'd never seen anything. So I'm looking at it, and I'm 100% sure. So everybody was just wanted to wrestle that camera out of my hands and see it for themselves. And everybody else at the table looked at it, and they didn't see anything. So I went upstairs. I said to myself, I got to tell Vesula about this. And she was on the boat. And I went upstairs, and I told her what I had seen. And this is the best part of the story. She said to me, I'm so happy you told me that, because I was really worried. And I've been asking Jesus if he was happy with what I said yesterday when I gave the talk. And this is a confirmation that I was saying what he wanted me to say.
Wow.
That was not only did I see that special grace, but that I was able to console Vesula and put her mind at rest, that she was doing what he wanted her to do.
Yeah, I had heard a piece of that story, and it is very cool to hear you say that. And I mean, that is just nothing short of spectacular, Jonathan. At the very least, that's incredible. That's beyond all of this, really, to see that. One of the things I have to mention to you that I have to comment on that I like is when you said, which is very near and dear to me, is when you said that, and you see this, and you started to speak out loud. You see, and I just want to remind people, that's what out loud means, Jonathan. It means the truth. You understand why that's affectionate to me, right?
Okay, I get it. Sure.
When you get out loud, it's the out loud truth. And see, you were out loud at that moment, but isn't that the way we should be, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, now you know me. You know what my mission is, right?
I get it now. I get the out loud part.
It's about getting to the truth. I call it the out loud truth. But anyways. Jonathan, you have so many incredible stories and all, and so I want to just, just remind folks that this show, The Messages, is, of course, available at AmericaOutloud.com always. All the shows of the year, and there's links on there and interesting things to look at. You've listened to the shows from the site, right, Jonathan?
Yep, they're fantastic.
So there's some great material there, and we continue to do great productions and all. But I want to remind you too, please do me a favor. Go to iTunes and like the rate the show. Leave a comment if you like, but subscribe to the show and leave a comment or rate it five stars there if you can for us, please. Is always helpful with iTunes. iTunes is worldwide, and they are the biggest feeder of podcasts around the world. So it's a great place to be for that. And also, it's helpful if you do look at the America Out Loud Network, and we appreciate it if you can rate and review that as well, because that is the network that we've created to run all these fantastic programs. So anyways, Jonathan, we are about there, I think. And I want to end here with this. The noble work of our times. That is profound. And when we speak of the messages, and we speak of true life in God, and we speak of the work that God's word in all of its glory, and as you've just described, Jonathan, the uniqueness of what it's done to your life, right?
Exactly.
It's unbelievable. And the way Father Gavin Ashenden describes it is incredible. And I want to make pause to you a mention here, too. Father Gavin Ashenden will be on a future show here. We're going to have him on in the next couple of weeks, actually. So look forward to that. I also have another special production will be coming up in the next couple of weeks with Vesula we'll be talking about. We will be releasing that just ahead. And so many more things on the messages. Jonathan, thanks for being here and co-hosting with me today. Thank you, brother.
Thanks for having me, Malcolm. It's been great.
It's awesome here. And that's what we do here on this show. My friends, thank you for being with us today. God bless. We will see you next time.